to show success.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And, you know, great news, we have gone through a little bit of remodeling on both of those websites there. So check them out, GorillaMedia.co.nz and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Now, also wanted to give a shout out to James Burns doing such a fine job over there at Freedom Files and all the other great AFR hosts. We have Christy coming up after this show today. Now, we have a couple of guests for you today, ladies and gentlemen, and we've got some interesting topics to discuss. But before we get into that, I have a little bit of an update for you. Christchurch quake. 156 now confirmed dead, still another couple of hundred missing, and just received a picture today from my good friend John Eisen from uncensored.co.nz, good supporter of the show here, of a picture of Christchurch from the hills, and it looks like a huge cloud of dust is just hanging over the city. It's very eerie and scary and whatnot. I would consider, of course, that all the people in Christchurch who are dealing with the fact that they've got no water, no electricity, and all their amenities and whatnot running out are having a really tough time. And inconveniently, we have mainstream media reporting on everything to do with the quake, except how it was caused. And incidentally, not reporting on the fact that this quake was predicted very, very close by a man named Ken Ring. And he does this by looking at the sun. And when these huge bursts of energy come out of the sun, it can actually affect the planet itself. And indeed, even the moon itself can affect the planets, not just the oceans, but it can also move land by up to 2 feet, I found out the other day. Isn't that interesting? So, yes, he predicted back on the 18th of February that there was going to be a big quake in Christchurch, and the quake hit a couple of hours outside of his, what's it called, margin of error. Isn't that very interesting? Also, in other news, Southern Poverty Law Center publishes list of subversive patriot groups. Now, We Are Change has made it in there. The intelligence project identified 824 anti-government patriot groups that were active in 2010. Generally, patriot groups define themselves as opposed to the, quote, New World Order, engage in groundless conspiracy theorizing, or advocate or adhere to extreme anti-government doctrines. Yeah, right. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and we'll be right back after the break. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and, incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, brought to you in proud collaboration with GuerrillaMedia.co.nz. Both sites have been remodeled over the weekend. I spent my fabulous rest time doing that, so I hope you all appreciate it. My very special guest joining me for this hour goes by the name Galen from whodidit.org. And the question is, 9/11, who really did it? Now, those of you who listened through the show last week, we had two guests on, very, very good guests, talking about their particular theories and evidences for what they think happened on that day. First being Dmitry Khalazov, talking about a buried nuclear device bringing down the towers, and the second being Dr. Judy Wood, who was nicknamed Marvin the Martian after her so-called outlandish theories of high-energy-directed free-energy technologies being used to demolish the towers and turning them into basically dust. All right, and our very special guest, Galen, joins us now. Are you there, mate?
Thank you, Vinny. I am here. So this is Dennis Galen Michik joining you from Latin America.
Ooh, very exotic.
Joining you from high in the Andes.
All right. Hey, well, one thing I wanted to do actually is get your kind of qualifications down so we can sort of justify for myself and the audience just the level of awesomeness that we're dealing with here in a man such as yourself.
Sure. Thank you, Vinny. I appreciate that, and I really appreciate what you're doing in your show and bringing a little lightness to these heavy issues. So I have degrees in physics and math from University of Michigan, and I also have a master's in business from University of Michigan, and I've been very active in researching what really happened on 9/11. And I'm also active in the chemtrail awareness, and I'm working with people down here to educate people in South America about chemtrails because we're now getting them here. So in addition to 9/11, I'm also a chemtrail activist, and I also am very aware about the nefarious plans of the New World Order. So I also can speak a little bit to the New World Order agenda, etc. But 9/11 has really been my forte, my main area of research since September 11th of 2001. So yeah, well, 9/11, this is
9/11 kind of woke an awful lot of people up, didn't it? I mean, because it's like you can't pull off an enormous parlor trick without heaps of people in the audience wanting to know how the magician did it.
Well, you know, and they were not as smooth as you might think. The fact that a lot of people in America just are so brainwashed and so gullible to swallow the propaganda, they actually believe the lies of the U.S. government and the media more than they believe the laws of physics, believe it or not. And, Vinny, one of the things I tell people is, look, the official conspiracy theory, the story that we're told about 19 Arab hijackers and the planes bringing buildings down in Manhattan, etc., it's physically impossible. It violates Newtonian laws of physics. It violates laws of chemistry and thermodynamics. So, you know, any high school physics student who's clever could prove conclusively that the story that the government told us is absolutely physically impossible.
Oh, I disagree with you. I think any high school student that's really dumb could figure out that it's completely impossible.
Yeah, you got that right. You don't have to even be a smart high school student. So what's that say about the average adult in America?
Yeah. Hey, well, isn't it the thing that's going on with our society now? Everybody's just so dumbed down to such a point that it's almost impossible to let them see reason or anything logical for that matter, because it's been bred out of you. You know, it's like the Americans are now, and I don't want to insult our American audience. I love you, and particularly the audience listening to this show, one of the most highly educated American audiences worldwide, I'd probably wager. It's more the fact that it's being conditioned into a point where they are the dumbest, fattest, most entertained, least informed, group of blobs on the earth, you know? And that's really, really what the New World Order wants you to be, so that you cannot resist them in any way, shape, or form. If you're unhealthy, you can't think. And if you're absolutely enormous, hey, you can't run away from the cops.
Right. You know, Vinny, that's absolutely right. This has been a program that's been going on, you know, the fluoride in the drinking water and the government-controlled schools. And it goes on and on and on, you know, the media being controlled through Project Mockingbird, you know, a subset of MK Ultra, you know. So this has been a program that's been in place for many years. And the result is the most, just as you say, it's the most apathetic, self-indulgent, unintelligent as a group. Now, there are individuals, of course, are different. But as a group, you know, I've argued with people with PhDs in physics about the collapse of the World Trade Centers. And these people are clueless, and they claim to have PhDs in physics, but they couldn't reason their way out of a paper bag.
Well, it's absolutely shocking. True. I mean, one of my opinions is the more educated you are, the dumber you get.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing. You get so stovepiped and specialized. You know, that's why I like your approach, Vinny, is I love Nietzsche as a philosopher. And he said the more abstract the truth you would teach, the more you must seduce the senses to it. And so the best way to do that is with humor, satire, you know, all the tricks, you know. So we really have to, you know, get people off their, you know, what they think is their firm foundation and get them to look at this with new eyes, because, you know, you cannot reason with an unreasonable person. Reason will not get you into a position, out of a position reason did not get you into. I think Schopenhauer said that.
Oh, it's patently obvious too, isn't it? You know, you just have a look with any of these filthy scum out there that work in government, or even you try to reason with a police officer, it doesn't happen. How it's like
forget about
know,
it. You try to reason with a police officer,
there was a film.
You get arrested.
There was. Yeah, absolutely. And there was a film called What the Bleep Do We Know? And it told a story about way back in the day when, I don't know, the old tribes and I think it was the Caribbean of some description, they couldn't see the ships of the explorers coming in. They actually just couldn't see them. Literally, they couldn't. Until the shaman.
There was no metaphor for it.
There was no metaphor, there was no thing, and if you cannot perceive it, you cannot see it, even if it's right there in front of your face. And what we have now is we have a population that is so bought into the illusion that a government and law enforcement officials are on their side that they could not conceive that they will betray them. And that's why it's so difficult to wake people up sometimes.
You know, you're absolutely right. One of the questions I would get most, because I've been on this 9/11 thing for years, I knew watching the buildings fall, Vinny, that there's no way the airplanes knocked those buildings down. There's no way. It's impossible. And so I knew that something was wrong. And one of the questions that I've gotten many times when I was tabling in Palo Alto, California, where I lived for years, is people would say, well, I know Bush is evil, but he wouldn't kill 3,000 of his own people. And I said, look, what you don't understand is Bush does not look at the citizens of this country as his people, because he works for the Rothschilds. He works for somebody else. You know, he doesn't work for us. We're not his people.
Yeah, I mean, he would look at us, and I'd probably say this would apply to most of the elite, really. They look at us kind of like a crop that's ripe for harvest, you know? Cut them off at the base, strip all the flesh off them, and then get at the sweet, gooey nougat in the middle.
Suck out the marrow from the bones.
Yeah, I know. It's like that movie, The Island. We're products, essentially, and that's all we are. We have no more emotional value to them than, say, a four-slice toaster.
Bingo. You got that right.
Now, how do you deal with somebody who has essentially shirked off all recognition of human conditions? You know, I mean, it's like they don't care whatsoever about whether or not you're happy or sad. The only thing they care about is what your value is to them. And essentially, you have no value to them outside of your ability to perhaps produce products or be part of a crowd pushing a particular agenda. Like, oh, we've got to get those Arabs. They're so naughty. Those sand people are going to invade our towns and put anthrax in our water. Okay. Oh.
All the scare tactics. Well, you know, as one of the foot soldiers of the New World Order said famously, Henry Kissinger, we're worthless eaters. You know, all of humanity, pretty much, we're just worthless eaters. So, you know, the only way to deal with them, Vinny, is to remove them from their positions of power. Because, you know, they are a handful of people. According to my reckoning, it's under 7,000 people are basically controlling the world. And these, you know, we outnumber them 1,000,000 to 1. You know, there's close to 7 billion of us. So at 7,000 of them, for every one of them, there's 1,000,000 of us. And people say, well, what can we do? They've got all the money. They've got all the guns. No, that's not true. The guns are in the hand of the people. It's just that too many people, the soldiers and the police, have been swallowed up by this message that, oh, that the other people, the Arabs and people of color and different nations are our enemies. And so they bought the propaganda. And so it's an education campaign. If we get the people of the world to understand that hey, there's a group of people that have a very nefarious agenda, and we just refuse to do what they say anymore. We refuse to obey them. And then guess what? They have no power.
Oh, and yeah, then we just... The two most powerful letters in the alphabet is N-O, no.
Exactly. You got that right, my friend. I like your attitude.
It's like the you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink kind of thing. I mean, seriously, humanity can be the most stubborn, pain in the a kind of creatures that you could ever conceive of. You know, it's like herding cats. Unbelievably difficult. Right. But conveniently... Right. And this is the only reason why it's been allowed to carry on so long is because of that complete, total, unquestioning compliance. If we stop complying, then all of a sudden all these institutions that have been built up for hundreds of years or whatever, you know, we're talking about the mainstream media, the medical establishment, the government establishment, the military industrial complex, the whole thing, it is predicated upon consent. If you remove the consent, essentially it's like you're taking the foundations out of their entire system, and it'll probably collapse into a pile of dust like the Twin Towers.
You know what? That's absolutely right. You know, they cannot possibly, a handful of people cannot control all of humanity unless all of humanity at some very fundamental level agrees to it. You know, so if we stop agreeing, if enough of us say, you know what, we're not going to do what you say anymore. We're not going to obey you. You're not our overlords. Guess what? Their power base disappears and it crumbles into nothing.
Mm-mm. And that's what I liked about the protest against the Trans Texas Corridor. Being a New Zealander, I mean, this might be an ironic thing to say, but it actually swelled me with Texas pride to see all these guys wearing their cowboy hats and boots and six shooters and whatnot, just going, no, no, we're not going to let our beautiful Texas be taken away from us. You know, and I was just thinking, hey, that's what I want to do. And just recently, I mean, I've got lots of mates in New Zealand, you know, that kind of thing. And all of a sudden, for some reason, over the last couple of weeks, they're all getting really pissed off about something. And it's, they're always pissed off about one thing or the other or something along those lines. But it's only just now, right now, that they're really starting to voice it and get themselves out there. And I'm wondering, is this a really, really good thing, or are they charging down a path of no return? And this is one of the difficult things about being a quote-unquote conspiracy theorist or a quote-unquote patriot, is that you have to make a choice, really. And the choice to simply resist the system is a big one to make, And on top of that, there's a flow-on effect where you have to make the decision about specifics, you know. What specifically am I going to do? Because there is a bazillion agendas coming against us, and there's no possibility that a single person would be able to fight every single one of them. So you kind of have to, well, choose your battles, as it were. And because of the fact that there's so much information, so much difficulty of contemplation out there, it makes it difficult to actually make that decision and fight something that is really, really bad and fight it effectively.
Right. You know, and that's specifically, you make a great point there, Vinny, and that's specifically why I focus on a handful of things. I mean, I could take on whaling, I could take on many other topics, but I'm focusing on 9/11, chemtrails, and the New World Order. But, you know, you say this word, this phrase, conspiracy theorist. You know, when anybody says, calls me that, you know what I tell them? I say, you know what? First, I tell them that there's a specific definition of theory. A theory is only a theory if it is either falsifiable or verifiable. So you have to be able to prove it either right or wrong. And I say, look, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a conspiracy factualist, because what I believe about 9/11 is beyond theory. It has been proven. It's all the empirical evidence supports my thesis about 9/11, that the Twin Towers were brought down in a controlled demolition using not just thermite, which is a traditional controlled demolition substance, which is incendiary, it's not explosive, but also nanothermite, which is a high-tech version of thermite, which is also explosive. So this is not a theory that thermite and nanothermite was pre-positioned in those towers and in Building 7, and that's why those buildings came down. It's not a theory, Vinny, it's a fact. So I'm not a conspiracy theorist, I'm a conspiracy factualist.
Oh, yeah.
So and I start what I call team out there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what I call people that call me a conspiracy theorist, I just call them conspiracy deniers.
Well, yeah, that's when people deny the truth of 9/11, I say, oh, you're a 9/11 denier, a 9/11 liar.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for heck's sake, they've got all these catch-all terms. Why don't we just throw it straight back at them? It's just like, hey, we can use those too. Conveniently, we have brains that work.
Yeah.
You know, we've got creativity, you know, the ability to think on our feet, unlike some conspiracy deniers. And, you know, I don't want to, like, sound all elitist and stuff here, but for frickin' heck's sake, if you can't see 9/11 was, at the very least, not the way the government says it, you must be freaking retarded. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show Without Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Very special guest is Galen, coming at us from whodidit.org. We're talking about 9/11 and the New World Order. And we'll be right back after the break. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Without Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Coming at you live from New Zealand, live from the future. And the future looks bright. Our very special guest coming at us from, what's your website again there, mate? Is it whodidit.org? We're talking
11.org. Yes.
Whodidit.org. Yes, that's right. Now, one thing I'd like to ask you in particular is what exactly was it that woke you up? Was it the day of 9/11? Then you were suddenly, all of a sudden, physics kicked in. That can't happen.
Yeah.
So what the hell's going on?
You know, Vinny, actually, it was the similar event back from my youth with the John F. Kennedy assassination.
On the Eastwood Show. Sorry about that. Yeah,
no
sorry
words.
About that, Galen. You go right ahead, mate.
No, so it was to answer your question, Vinny. By the way, great song. To answer your question, it was the whole magic bullet explanation of the John F. Kennedy assassination. So here was a similar situation to the 9/11 because we were expected to believe a story by the government that a bullet, they call it the magic bullet, violated the laws of physics. So as a student of physics, I knew that that wasn't possible for a bullet to do what that bullet they claimed did. And I knew the same thing about 9/11. So those were things that helped wake me up. But I tell you, the main catalyzing event, Vinny, as I think was, as you said earlier, is true for many people who are active now, were the events of 9/11, because that was just off the top. You know, that was just too much to pull off something like that and think that people are that stupid to believe that an airplane is going to cause a building, two airplanes are going to cause three buildings to fall in on themselves through the path of greatest resistance at free fall speed. That is just impossible. And so that is what really got me on. You know, I learned about the Rothschilds from this, the New World Order and chemtrails and on and on and on. Although I knew about chemtrails before. I shouldn't say chemtrails. I knew about chemtrails before 9/11. But, you know, it was the catalyzing event that woke me up to the nefarious agenda of the New World Order.
Well, yeah, I mean, and we get into the subject of false flag terrorism, and for the listening audience who are unfamiliar with this term, it's essentially a way for governments to motivate their populations to do something that they ordinarily would have no inclination to do whatsoever, like give up the rights that all their forefathers and brothers and sisters and whatever died on distant battlefields in order to protect.
Right.
You know, something you'd never give up unless, this is a freaky terrorist. Oh, and they've got beards and towels on their heads. Oh, no. Please take my rights. Please take them. Just protect me from these terrible towel-headed, bearded individuals with the burning eyes of Allah.
And the underwear bombers. Protect us from the underwear bombers. Let us be groped.
Yeah, absolutely.
The thing is, Vinny, it would be hard. Anyone would be hard pressed to name a single one of these that was not a false flag. You know, it goes everything from the Maine to the Gulf of Tonkin to the, you know, the crotch bomber to the, you know, the 7/7 London bombings to the Madrid bombings, the Bali bombings, you know, 9/11. You know, every single one of these things were false flag operations. The Reichstag fire, you know, I would have a hard time naming one that was not a false flag operation.
Well, yeah, it's standard operating procedure, isn't it?
It's really to get their way because you know the people.
If you want the population to do something, scare the bejesus out of them. They'll do whatever you want.
Right, and that's the only way you're going to get people to go to war, because people naturally do not want to go to war unless they feel that they're being threatened. So they get Japan, they go Japan into an attack on Pearl Harbor, which they knew was coming because they knew that was the only way they were going to get Americans to go to war in Europe and in Asia, is to have the Japanese, you know, sneak attack, even though they knew the Japanese Pacific Fleet was on its way. And they sent most of the Pacific Fleet of the U.S. Navy out on training exercises that day. And that's why there was such a relatively small loss of life in Pearl Harbor, because most of the sailors were out on the good ships that could sail doing exercises.
And they say, oh, that was lucky.
Yeah, well, great. Just like it was lucky for Lucky Larry Silverstein not to be in his office in the World Trade Center. And wasn't it lucky that there was that Warren Buffett had organized a celebrity CEO golf tournament at all places at Orford Air Force Base, where Bush ended up later that day in Nebraska. Oh, the CEOs that would have normally been in their offices at the World Trade Center, oh, just happened to be at a celebrity golf tournament, a CEO celebrity golf event in Orford Air Force Base in Nebraska. Oh, that's a great place to have a golf tournament, an Air Force Base.
And isn't it lucky that Larry Silverstein got that extra terrorism insurance
isn't it smart of him to have gotten that lease just a few weeks before the attack?
Me and Larry Silverstein are going to meet in Vegas one day, and he'll challenge me to a game of blackjack, and I'll be like, nah, bro, you're way too lucky.
His family, I think members of his family were supposed to be in the World Trade Center. Oh, but they all had a reason not to be there. He's one lucky dude.
Yeah, and there was some reports. Children, in fact, a lot of school teachers heard their children in class talking about how the towers were going to come down like a week before it. So something tells me that mummy and daddy were talking about the false flag terrorism attack that was going to happen, and the kids were like, oh, well, that's cool. I'll just talk about that in school. You know, it's like foreknowledge is so, so gleamingly obvious of 9/11, okay? The U.S. government knew, all the direct people involved knew, and the coincidences are just so, so meticulously piled up that you can't believe it. I mean, Jeb Bush, what was he? He was the head of somebody Bush, I forget.
He was the governor of Florida at the time.
Not Jeb Bush. It's one of the other people. He was head of security for the World Trade Center complex until September 10th.
No, That piece of information, Vinny, Marvin Bush was a principal in a company that had security prior to 9/11. But Kroll Associates, which is a CIA front company, had security on 9/11, actually. So that's a little piece of information that got a little bit twisted. But Marvin Bush was a principal in a company, Securecom, that had the security contract until 2000. But then they lost the security contract to Kroll and Associates, which is a CIA front company, and they had it from then until after 2001. So the setup work for the explosives, for the nanothermite, was done well in advance of 9/11, of course.
And there were witnesses.
They had a security contract.
There were witnesses, apparently, who said that there were copious quantities of people in white jumpsuits crawling all over the Twin Towers in the weeks and months leading up to 9/11, stringing cables everywhere, and none of them had security badges or any identifying features whatsoever. And a few of the people after 9/11, they talked about this, and they were just like, well, what the heck is going on there? Have you heard about this?
Oh, I do know about that, actually. The thing about, I mentioned earlier that the towers, the explosive energy that brought the towers down, because thermite is an incendiary device. It burns, it melts steel on contact. And you can see pictures of the columns that held up the 47 supporting columns for each tower of the twin towers. You can see they're cut at a 45-degree angle, which is exactly how you separate the mass of the building from its foundation. So that's what they use for that. But nanothermite can actually be painted on. So there were reports that there was a contract to paint the elevator shaft. So what they did is the people that painted it on, most of them may not even have known they were painting nanothermite on, but the ones that wired the nanothermite for explosive nuclear explosion, they would have been the people in the know. And I do know about these people. They were some of the same people that were rounded up, all the spies that were rounded up from a little organization known as Mossad. And there are reports that made it in the mainstream media in the U.S. press that there were over 200 Israeli spies, many under the guise of art students and moving company, et cetera, et cetera. They rounded up a couple hundred of these Israeli agents that were turned out to be Mossad agents and spies. And you know what? None of them were asked any tough questions because two men got them released back to Israel without any questions asked. Those two men are Mukasey, who became attorney general later, Michael Mukasey, who was the, what was his position? He was a federal judge in New York. And then none other than Michael Chertoff, whose mother was a Mossad agent. And this man is the guy that was the first head of the Department of Homeland Security. He was the assistant attorney general under Ashcroft at the time. And these two men got these 200 spies released back to Israel without any questions asked. So these are the people that were running all over the Twin Towers, planting explosives on prior to 9/11.
Yeah, scuttling
and filming the event. Filming the event. The five men that were filming the event that were arrested, high-fiving and lighting their lighters. And they went on TV in Israel later as big heroes. And they said, well, we were there to document the event. Oh, really?
So how did you know that that event was going down, Mr. Mossad? You know, it's like, I think it was Mike Rupert from thewilderness.com or copvcia.com. He reported in a documentary of his entitled The Truth and Lies of 9/11 that an Israeli shipping company moved out of the Twin Towers 1 week before 9/11 and they broke their lease.
Exactly. I forget the name of the company, but that's exactly right.
Well, so get this. I mean, we've got prior knowledge, and Mossad was warning the United States, oh, it's going to happen, oh, it's going to happen, oh, it's going to happen. And U.S. did nothing. Now, here's the question, though. If we're talking about culprits here, are we talking about a multinational force? Are we talking about U.S. plus Mossad plus MI5 or whatever? Or are we talking about specifics?
What I call the true axis of evil that I see in the world, and it's not the people, it's the governments. It's USA, UK, and Israel, USA, UKI, because the USA was clearly involved, the FBI, the CIA, the Army. Curiously enough, not the Navy. The Navy was not involved in this operation. That's why they had to take out the entire the Office of Naval Intelligence was wiped out in the Pentagon hit. The entire Office of Naval Intelligence was taken out. The Navy was not in on this particular little operation. It was Army and Air Force. And so there was the upper elements of the U.S. military. MI6 was heavily involved, as was Mossad. And so those are the three countries. There was also German involvement, but not as much. There was Pakistani involvement, because the ISI, the CIA equivalent in Pakistan, was also involved in this little operation. But the three main countries were the USA, UK, and Israel. And so those are the three countries who mainly were involved in the planning and perpetration of this. And so it was a joint operation by those three. And again, not everybody in the government, but certainly enough people in the government to do it, and then enough complicity in the press around the entire world to keep it covered up, and I mean virtually all of the press.
Yeah, I mean, the press has been in the pockets of governments and corporations for quite some time. It's almost impossible, really, to get full stories off of mainstream media. I mean, we get snippets and drips and drabs here and there that expose interesting things, like the 6 out of 10 9/11 commissioners saying that they were set up to fail. That was in mainstream news. But, of course, right. It's interesting. A lot of these good articles, and when I say good articles, I mean they kind of support 9/11. 9/11 truth movement to a T in terms of what they're reporting on. But the difficulty is they don't get the wholesale expansion, repetition, and amplification that Britney effing Spears does. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood show. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood show. Without Will, we're on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally, the Vinnie Eastwood show.com. Very special guest, Galen from WhoDidIt.org, talking 9/11. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. on American Freedom Radio, and incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, and proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz. If you're just tuning in, those websites have been redesigned somewhat, and I encourage you to check them out. We've got some incredible articles posted on there for your intellectual pleasure. Speaking of intellectual pleasure, my very special guest, Dennis Galen Mertzik, joins us from Ecuador. Welcome back, Galen. Are you there, mate? Seem to have lost him for some reason. It doesn't matter, because, the subject of 9/11 often gets brought up in the truthist circles and things of this nature. But one thing that really, really bugs me about it is not so much the fact that 3,000 people died, although that certainly does get me a little bit fired up. The main thing is when you know the truth and you still struggle to get it out there, the total denial on behalf of the public. Isn't that right, Galen?
You know, there is total denial. And Vinny, am I still connected to both your calls? Because we got disconnected there.
Oh,
am I still good on your...
Yep, you're here, man. Yep.
Oh, good, because we got disconnected. So I missed what you said. Do you mind? I just heard the last two words.
Well, see, it's just more the fact that once you know the truth about 9/11, actually the frustration is not so much the fact that 3,000 people got incinerated into dust and everybody's been lied to. The real sadness and the real difficulty is getting people to realize it.
Well, you know, those 3,000 people, my heart goes out to their family and their friends and their loved ones. But, you know, there's a million Iraqis that died because of that. And so, and the country of Iraq has been ruined, you know, using ostensibly these lies about 9/11. And Afghanistan is suffering as well. And they want to go after Iran next, which will be the beginning of World War III. You know, so these insane, and the term I like to use for them, Vinny, is global pathocrats, because they're not elite. They're not the ruling elite. They're not smarter than we are. They're just without conscience. And so they're pathocrats. They're the ruling insane. And so these people, they will continue doing what they've been doing for hundreds of years unless we stop them. And that's what we must do. We must stand up and say no more to these people, because they will continue doing their false flags and their wars and their diseases and their, you know, on and on and on. Swine flu, bird flu, AIDS, even Lyme's disease was created in a government lab. So in these GMO foods, I mean, on and on and on. They're destroying the entire ecosystem of this planet. And if we don't get them out of their positions of power, humanity has no future. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I love that term, pathocrats, the ruling insane, because, you know, and it's been a question that a lot of people who aren't patriots, who aren't conspiracy buffs like us, have been right. Conspiracy factualists. They've been getting into, and they wonder about the possibility of intent versus stupidity. Okay, like, for example, we've got this piece of legislation in here that makes the Patriot Act look like a nice fluffy bunny that you can stroke at a petting zoo. It's called the Search and Surveillance Bill, and it's so bad, so monstrous, so odious in its design that it basically strips away every single bit of personal and national sovereignty that this country has ever tried to install, and it just basically wipes it away and makes up to 70 different government agencies, most of which are not police of any kind, and basically gives them godlike power. And I wonder, at what point do people stop questioning, oh, how stupid are this government for doing this? I mean, what reason do they have to do that? How long is it going to take them to go, oh, my God, the government's an insane bunch of psychopathic scumbags and they're trying to enslave and destroy my frickin' country?
Well, you know, Vinny, I keep asking myself that same question. And, you know, if the people of the rest of the world don't follow the lead of Tunisia and Egypt and the great people in Wisconsin, you know, Power never gives up power without a demand. You know, the people in power aren't just going to say, you know, we're tired of ruling people. We've had enough of this. We're just going to give back all this power. No, that'll never happen. It'll never happen. Power only gives up, you know, the people in power only give up their power when there's a demand, when the people demand it. And if the people never demand it, guess what? We'll never have it. And we'll just see it's the frog in boiling water, Vinny. We'll have less and less freedom every single breath we take until we'll be in some science fiction dystopia, 1984 combined with Blade Runner, combined with Brave New World, combined with Terry Gilliam's Brazil. You know, that's the future we're looking at. We're not that far away.
Yeah, and where do you suppose all these psychopaths came up with their ideas for those movies and books? You know, I mean, there's not that many creative people in Hollywood, I always say. And it's another thing, and it's interesting about fiction, is that fiction has to make sense. I'd like to thank you very much, Dennis, for coming on the show. And it's true what you say, that the uprisings may be coming to America. There's an article in here from guerrillamedia.co.nz from Farah Khan. Mideast uprisings will come to US. You can check that out on guerrillamedia.co.nz.
I hope and pray that's true, Vinny.
Mm-hmm. But let's hope, just like that happens, that you're not overthrowing US-funded and supported dictators so that you can get a nice, peaceful, loving, CIA-sponsored Muslim brotherhood ruling you under Muslim law.
Hey, Vinny, you're a smart guy. It's good to talk to you, and thank you so much for having me on your wonderful show.
All right, it's been a pleasure. There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. You can check out his website at whodidit.org. We'll be right back next hour in a month.
a sure success. All for one and one for all. Unity means solidarity. Yeah. United we stand. Divided we fall.
Unity, baby!
Unity. Woo.
Welcome back, folks, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio, and incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, brought to you in proud collaboration with GuerrillaMedia.co.nz, and we are breaking some records in terms of the amount of hits to our website of late, so I'm very, very chuffed with that. If you're a listener to the show and you've been visiting our website, you are pretty dang awesome. All right, we have a very special guest for you today, ladies and gentlemen, in the wake of the quake. I didn't mean that to rhyme, it's just a coincidence. We have been looking into scalar weapons technology, and we have a guest on the line here, AC Griffith. You may remember him from other shows such as the Intel Hub, where we had a conversation last week, and you can listen to that show, and it was very, very good, at the Vinnie Eastwood Show archives, entitled Vinnie on Other Shows. Griff, are you with us?
Yes, sir. Nice to be with you tonight, Vinnie.
Oh, it's just so fabulous to have somebody of such repute on me show. Now, one thing I'd love to talk about with you, Griff, I mean, and you mentioned this, that the scalar weapons attacks on Christchurch would be signified by big booms from the air. And interestingly enough, article just posted on guerrillamedia.co.nz yesterday says exactly that. There were dozens of calls into the local police talking about enormous sonic booms coming out of the air, and they had no idea what the heck was going on. But you do, don't you, Griff?
Sure. I don't speculate. Everything I tell you here tonight is fact. Would you like to get into letting me get into the mysterious booms and the scalar right now? How do you want?
I'd like to actually kind of introduce yourself and what your qualifications are first, because we just have a short segment here.
Well, we're going to have to hit the peaks in this short period of time. There's so much to talk about and not enough time, so we'll just hit the high spots. My background, if the more background I put out over the air, the greater the attack against me. I might mention that your servers might come under attack for having me on the show tonight. It's happened many, many times, so you're a brave man for having me.
We wouldn't be truthers if we weren't brave, Griff.
Well, I think there's very little time left, and we can't be anything other than that. We're losing our hold on our civilizations. And we have perilous times confronting us this year. It's not a long time into the future. My background, I'll just tell you that I was associated with the National Security Agency and then later associated with the CIA.
Okay, and we'll get into more of this with Griff after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, brought to you in proud collaboration with guerrillamedia.co.nz, right here on American Freedom Radio, coming up after the break.
Yeah. Yeah. And no one like me. Yeah. 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 Congratulations. You made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo. But I'm here now. So what you want to do? How many dudes you really know can flow like this, like this, like this? Let's do it. How many dudes you know wrote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this? Not many, if any, not many, if any. How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this?
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio and GorillaMedia.co.nz. We're broadcasting live from the future, and the future looks bright. Our very special guest, A.C. Griffith, joins us from an undisclosed location in some description of nuclear bunker, where he's trying to protect himself from assassination. Griff, welcome to the program.
Vinny, how many more commercials do we have tonight?
Oh, well, just the two, because we do a short segment, then two long segments, and one short segment at the end, and it's going to be absolutely fabulous.
Will I have enough time to talk?
Or
do we have more commercials? We can just sit and listen to commercials all night if you like.
Well, we've got 17 minutes until the next break, so let's fire out what we can, because the grand difficulty when it comes to talking about scalar technology and HAARP technology and all of these other earthquakey natural event causing devices is that people are A, unaware of them completely, and B, if they are aware of them, they often don't know how they work. So I was wondering if you could sort of divulge a little bit of background on what is scalar technology.
How long do I have? 17 minutes?
Oh, yeah. Until our next break, at least.
And more commercials?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The earthquake that occurred in New Zealand was man-made. It was referenced in 1997 by the Secretary of Defense, William Cohen. He said others, terrorists, are engaged in eco-type terrorism whereby they can alter the climate, set off earthquakes, volcanoes remotely through the use of scalar electromagnetic waves. They're called EM waves, and it's scalar, S-C-A-L-A-R. You can search the internet for scalar. Scalar is a combination of two transmitters coming together at a distance spot, creating electromagnetic waves. You can visualize this. For the layman, I will describe it as gravitational waves. It's a new wave. It is not an RF wave. The impact is made at a distant spot. It can be made through the Earth and come up on the other side. What happened in Christchurch was probably Russian interferometer transmitters. Russia started developing this weapon technology in early 1960, and it is the they are further ahead than any other nation with scalar weapons. Nikita Khrushchev spoke of their advances in scalar early on in the mid-60s. Scalar can be used for different applications. Most of the world's countries chose to go the military route, and it is more lethal than any atomic weapon. It makes no sense at all to use nukes of any kind anymore, because you can devastate an entire nation with scalar at a distance, and no one will ever know without intelligence on the ground where it came from. There are upwards to 10 nations now that have scalar weapons, including Israel, China, the United States. Russia is the most advanced. They have developed scalar communication systems that are not RF. That is, you can't listen to them without special receivers, and they are hard to find in the world. several things have happened with Scalar weapons. The Thresher submarine with 127 men was taken down by Scalar, by the Russian Scalar, including the Columbia and the Challenger were taken down by Scalar weapons. Now they are applied to earthquakes and tsunamis. Many people have been killed. We know that they're man-made. And we know the FSB, the old KGB, is controlling those transmitters. Terrorist money has gone to Russia for the use of those transmitters for the application. And it's interesting to trace it back and find out where the money is coming from. So the Secretary of Defense went on public record. You can find it on the Internet. April 28, 1997, talking about what's happening today. The sonic booms, or mysterious booms, if you Google search for the word mysterious booms, you'll find page after page after page all over the world. And the stories will read the same, that the booms shook the ground, shook the buildings, the houses, and it rolled across the sky. Hundreds and thousands of calls went into the police, and nobody knows what caused it. And that's the story over and over. Well, they also were heard in New Zealand. Sometimes they're present before the earthquake, sometimes with the earthquake. The boom is a manifestation, it's a side effect manifestation of the tuning of the transmitters at the place of origin. In this case, it probably was Russian transmitters. And I think, as I said, Vinny, on the Intel program the other night, it probably was a shot across the bow to get the attention of the authorities that were on the ground in New Zealand at the time. I don't believe there is any other purpose to be served other than in your face and to get your attention and to show the authorities on the ground that we can take out any city. There are other applications for Scalar that I don't believe I mentioned that Tesla, Nikola Tesla, discovered this phenomena back many, many years ago. And he is the authority, the originator of the so-called Scalar. He didn't use the word Scalar. He called it his death ray, and there were other terms. And by the way, the event that happened in 1908 in Siberia, Tesla was 52 years old when that happened. That was a Scalar hit. You'll find references on the Internet for a heavenly body, a meteor, exploding over the ground and knocking
whoa,
down.
You say a meteor because there was actually a report as well from Christchurch seeing some description of meteor flying through the sky too.
Well, you're going to see that also. That's part of other systems, and it's part of the Scalar. It occurs from time to time, but it's not a meteor. It's just a technology that's so advanced that if you had the manuals in front of you, you wouldn't understand it. Now, that's how advanced these weapon systems are. You wouldn't understand it. We'll talk about chemtrails. I can tell you all about chemtrails also, and you won't understand that either. In fact, Benny, I sent you a document, a manual. It's a thesis, actually, and it has to do with the purpose of the chemtrails. You can read the whole book, 30, 40-some pages, and you will have no idea what you're reading. That's how advanced this technology is. So you can expect other hits, either tsunamis or earthquakes or volcanoes going off.
And that just dovetails.
That it's not a natural thing. It's a military application.
Well, that dovetails with another article that we posted as well, saying, let me see if I can find it here, is Christchurch headed for a volcanic eruption? So how can Scalar weapons be used to trigger volcanic eruptions? Because Christchurch is right next to three dormant volcanoes, I believe, or it might be two, I forget how many, but there's a couple of dormant volcanoes right next to Christchurch. It's the reason why there's that whole Banks Peninsula thing, which Christchurch is right up against. So could you explain to us a little bit about volcanoes and scalar?
Well, you can make the phenomena occur in the volcano, a mile or 2 miles or 3 miles or 10 miles or however distance you want it to occur in the ground, at any intensity that you choose. And if there's life in the volcano, you're going to make it erupt, you see.
That's if there's life in the volcano, of course.
Yes, yes, there would have to be something there.
So they can't just manufacture a volcanic eruption out of, say, just some random pot of dirt or something like that. You can't
I wouldn't think so.
Fissure and let magma come through.
No, I wouldn't think so. Although I will tell you, and it's quoted in documents, that Tesla said with this technology he could crack the Earth in two. I personally believe that this system can be used to affect the magnetic lines of flux around the Earth. And I have speculated and asked people in this field, could the technology affect the activity on the surface of the sun? I think it could. That's how powerful this is. It's a technology that no one's heard of and very few people understand it. And you will not find any reference to the math of this in any EE engineering handbook. It is contrary to everything that's being taught in schools. So that's where we are on this. That's why nobody has ever run with it. They keep blaming Planet X and other things for the phenomena that's occurring, but they would never be able to accept the reality that it's scalar weapons, because they don't understand it. Mm-hmm. Even science community will not go to scalar weapons. But you see, the mysterious booms, if you Google that, it's happening all over the world, but certainly happening all over the United States, and now you know it happened in your homeland. So expect more of it as we progress. I mentioned that Israel has these weapon systems. Now, can you imagine if the Muslim community backs Israel into a corner and attacks, and Israel has nothing to lose? They can annihilate any country on the earth. They can take out 1,000, 10,000, 100,000 people at one time, or any country can with this.
Yeah. I mean, I was watching a presentation given by Dr. Bill Deagle saying that scalar technology can be applied not only to shake the earth or whatever, but it can also be applied to shut off the electric systems of humans' bodies. You know, like you can, the whole body and the brain and everything like that, they're all controlled by electrical current, and scalar weapons can be used to turn that current off.
Yes, let me touch on that hurriedly here with our short time. There are other applications. You can use it for benefit, health benefit. You can improve health condition. You can fight cancer with it. You can do some pretty magic things for the good. You can also kill people, and they would be dead before they hit the ground. You could disrupt the electrical system. 1,000, 100,000 people can be dead before they hit the ground with this. You can also induce viruses into living creatures, humans, animals. You can electrically induce or change the DNA in people with this. You can also put a different personality in the brain, affect the brain's operation to the point where you can change the personality. You can take a personality out and put another one in, and Russia has been doing that in its experiments many, many years ago. I wonder if that's what's happening with all of the crazy behavior in the world today. Many years ago, I know in the middle of the 7 megacycle ham bands, for one, but there were other frequencies too, there was a signal originating in Russia. We referred to it as the woodpecker signal. It sounded like a woodpecker. And it went on for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you could hear it all over the United States, in fact, all over parts of the world. But we're learning now that that was part of the original large-scaler efforts out of Russia to set up an interference grid over populated areas. You can affect the thinking patterns, and the electrical systems of people. So there are many other applications, and there's plenty of industrial applications and applications that we haven't even thought of yet with this. But the countries chose to go the military route with it, and it is the ultimate weapon. I think Nikita Khrushchev in the 60s said that publicly, the ultimate weapon. There is no weapon in the arsenals any more lethal than the scalar. And now it can be used and openly, and people will not not go there. You're not hearing very many people talking about it, and it's been around since 1960. In the early days, Francis Gary Powers, the U-2 pilot in the 60s, was shot down over Russia. He was actually flying out of Turkey, and I was around. We were monitoring parts of the communication on that night that he was shot down. You see, I'm an old guy, 1960. So Powers was shot down not by a rocket, but by one of the early scalar prototypes. He said he saw a flash behind the U-2 plane, and then the engine cut out, and he went down. Certain airlines are having trouble riding through scalar fields now, but they don't know it's scalar. The engines will flame out, and the strange things will happen to the communications and the instrumentation on the plane, and that's scalar also. So
yeah, and what happens with people is that when they have an experience that they can't fully explain, they try to kind of make sense of it based on their past experiences. Like, for example, if the engine cuts out and there was this flash or something, they say, oh, well, it must have been lightning or something along those lines.
That's right. That's right. You always depend on your life experience to make judgments and reality. Without life experience, without experience of scalar, you would never understand what was happening.
Oh yeah, I mean,
let me talk about chemtrails a little bit.
Crazy to come up with that on your own, wouldn't you, Griff?
Yes, yes. Let me tell you about chemtrails in our few moments here. We broke the story of chemtrails several years ago. Worked with Mike Blair at the old Spotlight newspaper in Washington. Mike called me, asked me to work with him on the program. We got into the program and actually got into the people that were operating the program at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. That's where it's being managed, in Ohio. And it is a program they started back in an earlier time, about 10, 11 years ago, using CIA contract aircraft. Now they're using commercial airliners that have been outfitted with aerosol units and some CIA aircraft.
Wow. Okay, we'll get into more of this after the break. Our amazing guest, ladies and gentlemen, is A.C. Griffith, known as Griff, known to have been affiliated with the NSA and CIA. And we will be right back after this short break.
About there's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about a little bit of history repeating. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio, and incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, where you can catch our fabulous archives that we've done with amazing guests, such as A.C. Griffith, who we have on the line here. Griff, welcome back to the program.
I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting reports, Vinnie, that my audio quality is so bad people can't hear me out there.
Yeah, it's slightly bacon, and by that I mean slight crackling. Yeah, but anyway, it's all good. I can hear you, and I can understand you. And quite frankly, Griff, I'm going to have to listen to this show once or twice after I finish it today, because I basically need to kind of memorize what's going on here, because I'm going on other radio shows as well, talking about this New Zealand situation with Christchurch. And there's a lot of talk about HAARP and a little bit of talk about Scalar. And you say that they're different. What's the difference between Scalar and HAARP?
Well, HAARP is nothing but a transmitter, and it's on the map, and there's a road leading up to the front door, and it's nothing but a transmitter, a high-power transmitter, and it heats the upper atmosphere, and it is not a weapon system. It is not a weapon system. It's old, old technology. The interferometer transmitters that are associated with Scalar are very secretive. No one knows where they are. And it's a weapon system, and that's where your lethal comes from the Scalar transmitter, not HAARP. Not HAARP. See, many of the HAARP people, many of the people that say it's HAARP.
There is a HAARP facility in New Zealand. Have you heard about this?
It's not HAARP doing it. It's not.
I know that, but there's rumors of an actual HAARP facility here in New Zealand, and I've been trying to confirm that, because somebody said it was in Flatland Bush or something along those lines, some place very, very close to Christchurch. But I looked on Google Maps. I can't see it via satellite. Nobody sent in any pictures of the facility. I can't confirm it. I was just wondering if you'd actually...
No, I don't know of that, but don't waste your time on that, Vinnie. It's other things that are causing that, and it's going to increase. We had one 3.5 earthquake in the Gulf of Mexico the other day. That is a dangerous, dangerous thing for an earthquake to happen in the middle of. You know, the oil is still coming up out of the bottom of the Gulf. They lied about that, and it's a very dangerous thing for 20 million people that are living around the shorelines, and those people are getting sick, and they're going to have to evacuate, but the government chose to let them sit there and get sick. So that's another thing you need to look at very close.
Yeah, absolutely. There's reports of 100,000 people or so that are now sick around that particular Gulf area. And indeed, rumors that the massive, what's it called, there's a fault line that runs all the way up the Mississippi Delta.
All the way up toward the Great Lakes.
The New Madrid fault line, isn't it?
That's right. The Great Lakes are 600 feet above sea level, and Louisiana and the Gulf is at sea level. So if that cracks open all the way to the top, you'll have an ocean coming down 600 feet above the people. Can you imagine?
Yeah, and it would run the whole way along where the Mississippi is, the Mississippi Delta, where so many millions and millions of Americans are living right now.
It would take out cities and millions of people. Yes.
Oh, yeah, and it would all happen within seconds, apparently.
And you see, that can happen at any second. It's just depending on where the foreign military wants to hit it and take it out. It's not a natural occurring thing. Benny, let me tell you hurriedly about the chemtrails. We broke the story. We got into the program. And it is a Navy program, United States Navy program. They're aerosoling primarily was barium salt, a mixture of barium salt. Now it's barium and aluminum and other chemistry, but primarily aluminum and barium coming out of the aircraft. And it's used for the radio frequency mission planner of the Navy. The Chief of Naval Operations, Jeremiah Borda, Admiral Jeremiah Borda, was assassinated because he opposed it. And right after that, they started the program. Managed out of Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, Ohio. And it's used for the radio frequency mission planner, and in particular, one of the sub-programs in that system called the VTRPE, Variable Terrain Parabolic, VTR, Reflective Parabolic Equation. And I sent you a thesis on that to give you an idea of what that really looks like. The VTRPE part of the RFMP, Radio Frequency Mission Planner, is a battlefield imaging management system. It uses satellite and ground radar. That means that you could set 200 miles in the ocean on an aircraft carrier and paint a three-dimension battlefield image over land terrain accurately with the aerosol. The aerosol creates ducting, D-U-C-T-I-N-G, over land terrain. The system will not work adequately over land without the barium. So that's why they started the aerosol program. The Navy used it in Afghanistan. It used it several times in foreign military confrontations. Right now, all of the countries that are being aerosoled are set up for military operation on their terrain using this system. We in the United States have had military operations in every major city in the United States under urban warfare maneuvers, and they've mapped the cities using the Radio Frequency Mission Planner Navy system. All of the terrain, all of the numbers are in the computers for each city. In the United States, the military was thrown out of many cities for lying to the mayors, lying to the management, and also using live ammunition in mock attacks on buildings in the cities. The system, the Navy system, is required now for any combat. You can't guide the missiles in. You can't operate high-tech warfare without the aerosol that makes the system function. The first aircraft carrier battle group that was outfitted was the Enterprise and its battle group with this new system many years ago. So it's been perfected and now in place all over the world. The barium and the aluminum is causing respiratory problems, skin problems. If animals stay outside in this atmosphere, they will have reduced life expectancy. The atmospheric manipulation also causes a degradation of negative ions in the air. You can control behavior of people. You can control asthma. You can create an asthma attack in a major city with 100,000 people at the snap of a finger by manipulating the balance between the negative and the positive ions in the atmosphere.
Well, in addition to this, there was a U.S. Army Research Lab document that mentions strontium barium niobate was used to create good 3D holographic images. And, you know, it's part of... it seems to me that the chemtrail phenomenon being, you know, sprayed out of government and or whatever planes seems to be all over the world, and it seems to be done for a lot of different reasons. And these are not just different reasons or whatever. They're all happening, it seems, simultaneously. Like, it's there's a chemtrail up there, and it can be used in several different ways. I mean, either to enhance scalar weapons technology or to make the population sick and the party liners to cool the world down from this terrible threat of global warming by raining down nice radioactive barium particles on us.
Well, I'm glad I could make your day.
Yeah.
Well, now, what I've told you is a fact. It's not speculation. We got inside the program, Benny. We know the names of the people that worked on the program inside. We know the inside stories. I'm not speculating. What I say is a fact. It was never an intention.
My producer wants to know, actually, is there any actual safe place from scalar and chemtrails in this day and age? Or are we all screwed?
We're all screwed. There is no safe place.
That's comforting.
people are always speculating. They've got their luggage packed, and they're going to go from point A to point B. And I think you just trade problems. You don't know what it's going to be like when you make that move.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know that there is any safe place.
From point aluminium to point barium.
That's right.
You know,
but that is the basis.
In terms of solutions here, I mean, like, we need to actually get the government, the military, the intelligence agencies, and all of this on the back foot in order to stop them from, you know, basically having their way with humanity. I mean, do you see this as a possibility?
No. I've had meetings with the Congress. I've had meetings with the environmental protection agencies in the states here. I've had more than one meeting with them. The representative of Congress, after listening to a presentation that I made to him, he said, "Griff, what do you expect me to do? They would lie to me, too." The Congress is afraid of it. The Congress will not acknowledge it. Many of them don't understand it. Congress can do nothing about it. You see, the majority of the drug traffic is managed by the CIA in the United States and elsewhere.
The money coming from black
projects is coming from the drug traffic. Now, the Congress is not going to... one congressman from California spoke out about that, and she was reprimanded, and she shut her mouth to stay alive. So that's what you're dealing with here. It's hardball. And nobody's going to change anything. We're in deep trouble. I have said repeatedly from now on, it's all about protecting self and family. And forget about Planet X. Forget about all this other stuff. Concentrate on protecting your family and yourself. Stock food. It's going to happen.
Yeah. We've just had a post here on the Vinnie Eastwood Show Facebook group. Saying that the elite are now loading themselves into underground bunkers and survival arcs at the moment. I'm not sure. I haven't confirmed that yet, but apparently what they're saying is they're going to trigger some huge kind of extinction-level event in March of this year.
Well, I wouldn't worry about it. I would concentrate on yourself and your family and food and whatever paraphernalia that would... help you to maintain some quality of life coming into the future. It's going to be tough. Nothing is going to change. You're not going to change any of this. It doesn't matter who blew up the buildings in New York. None of this other stuff really matters. It's just about your own protection.
And what about mainstream protesting? I mean, you're like, well, people getting out on the streets and protesting accomplishes nothing, right? And
no.
It's like,
no.
I was thinking to myself the other day, a friend of mine, a good listener to the show, AJ, was talking to me. He says he really wants people to be out on the streets protesting against the man-made earthquake in Christchurch. And on the one side of me, I think, yeah, that'd be really great to just be out there just to you know, make ourselves feel better at the very, very least. But it'd be interesting to see how many people you could actually motivate to get out on the streets to protest scalar weapons technology.
That wouldn't do any good.
Interesting. Yeah, exactly. It wouldn't do anything, but it'd still be fun. And I say that if the world's going to end and we're all screwed, I say let's have some fun while we still can. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Our very special guest is AC Griffith, and we'll be right back after the break.
Segment.
ladies and gentlemen on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And also, thank you very much to our fabulous guest, A.C. Griffith. And we just kind of need to wrap it up here. And this is the difficulty, isn't it, Griff, is that just like that movie 2012, I wish we had more time.
Well, time is fleeting. There's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, for real, man. Well, one thing that I'd like to know, I mean, look, people often talk about the problems, and we talk about the problem of scalar technology, chemtrails, and various other things on the show, but and solutions seem to be scant. One thing that people say to me, particularly about other talk show hosts and that kind of thing, is that they never offer any solutions. And I say, well, most of the solutions are actually individual-based solutions. They're not just the whole society-wide. They're simple things like getting food, getting water, getting your own electricity supplies sorted, getting off the grid, making sure that you're completely independent so that you're not dependent on government, which are more likely to kill you than any other factor in the 20th century. You know, those are the solutions, really, as I see them. But people want these overarching solutions so that they basically affect everybody really nice and wonderfully. And you know, I don't see any credence with that. Do you?
I really don't see a good solution that the people would embrace out here. There are too many things happening at one time, and many governments are being sabotaged from within. Certainly the United States government is being disassembled from within the Obama administration. Obama is acting as a fascist, very similar to what Adolf Hitler and Benito Mussolini did. In my time, I was born in 1940, so I have seen a lot of history, and it's very much just a replay of some I've seen in the past. We're being disassembled from within. Governments. What's going on in the Arab countries now are orchestrated. They must have planned it out at least a year ago. It's orchestrated and dedicated to taking down leaders of certain countries, and didn't have anything to do with freedom and democracy. It had to do with removing the heads and replacing them with people that would fall in line with the concept of a new world order. And join in the march. Benny, I sent you many, many links. One, Colonel Tom Bearden, who is the authority on Scalar. You might learn a lot from looking at the two links I sent you on that. And you, too, can become an authority on Scalar after reading all of these pages here.
Looking forward to it.
If I can help you in the future with any of this, Benny, there's not too many people out there that know about it and can even barely reference some of this stuff, I would be glad to help you.
Oh, absolutely. And one thing I'd like from you, Griff, I mean, if you have any articles or things that you'd like to see posted, we'll definitely put them up to guerrillamedia.co.nz for you there. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'll keep you informed. I have no agenda. I don't sell anything. I don't do anything for money. My only desire is to put the word out to the people, and believe me, we come under attack here all the time. I just found out they took one of my websites down here in the last couple of days. It's been up for 5 years, and they took it down. It had to do with chemtrails and pictures and military things. Somebody complained about it, and they took it off. We're going to rebuild it and put it back up.
Well, you know, and that's the interesting thing. I mean, when a government apparatus breaks, it's like Humpty Dumpty, you know, all the king's horses and all the king's men can't put that mother effer back together again. But if you try to do the same thing to, say, a truth movement or a truther or somebody like yourself, Griff, hey, we're back on the ball within minutes, you know? That is the one thing that really, really is heartening for me about this alternative movement with conspiracy factualizing and all of that kind of jazz, is that we're such resilient, creative, unstoppable forces in ourselves. You know, I find that a very, very grand example to follow, really, because it gives me faith in humanity, perhaps. Maybe my faith is misplaced. Who knows?
Vinny, you have a very cultured accent. You have the the flavor of the British and the Australian, New Zealand, it sounds very cultured to the American ear.
Well, then go.
What do you say to that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I got into a taxi cab once on Waiheke Island, and the guy asked me, "Are you from the United States?" And I said, no, mate, I'm born and bred here in New Zealand. I have a very unique, interesting, and most people would say annoying voice with somewhat of a righteous cackle. So I think it's the uniquity that people love. Perhaps. I could be wrong, or could be full of myself.
Well, anyway, we've touched on less than 1% of what's happening in the world today. I hope I have enlightened you somewhat to the realities of some of this.
Oh, absolutely. And just quickly now, we wanted to reiterate for the listeners the difference between scalar and harp.
Harp is nothing but a transmitter, and it has somewhat limited direction capability. It's a heater. It heats the upper atmosphere. And it is associated with many universities. And the scalar transmitters are military. If you can imagine a modified radar transmitter, very, very powerful. And you take a couple of them and you create a EM wave, a scalar wave at a distant point in time. It's very complicated. Once you read some of the links that I sent you, you'll understand a little bit more about the scalar concepts, but they're entirely different.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Griff, so much for coming on the show. We'll see if we can post those up on gorillamedia.co.nz in a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to today's show. It's been quite an informative one. We've had two fabulous guests, and hopefully, sooner or later, we'll have the archives up at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com for you. Griff, it's been an absolute pleasure, mate. Thanks for coming on. All right, there he goes. AC Griffith, ladies and gentlemen. And we will be back tomorrow with the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Catch you later, ladies and gents.